Hello, everyone, and welcome to Speak Up Sis podcast. This is the place where everyday women and men have an opportunity to share their stories to inspire yours. We say what you think no one needs to hear, but everyone needs to know. I'm your host, Angel Charmaine, and we've got another special segment for you all today. We are going to be starting our mini series on branding. And the name of this series is Starting and Scaling Your Brand. And I've got an amazing guest here to teach you all, because that's exactly what he's going to be doing. His name is CJ Benjamin, and he is the CEO and lead of the Brand Room Inc. He also happens to be my brand strategist and the person who is behind the brand identity for Speak Up Sis LLC. So I decided to share him with you all, and that's what we're going to be doing for the next few weeks throughout the remainder of this year. CJ and I decided to help people who are interested in creating personal and or professional brands or rebranding a business to be able to start 2024 off correctly with their brand. So I hope that you'll join us. We're going to be meeting twice a month through December on Tuesdays, and you just need to make sure that you're here. Make sure you bring paper and pen, and also ask questions. We are accepting questions. So as you're listening to CJ, please make sure that you are placing your questions in the chat, and we will answer them as you ask them. So let me go ahead and bring up for you all the brother of the hour. Hello, CJ. How are you doing, brother?
Hello, I'm good. Thank you so much. Nice to see you again.
Yes, it is always good to see you, CJ. We did this once before, and we had some good turnouts. So I figured we will run this again and try it one more time for those people who need a little bit more help. So if you will, please, before we get started, really briefly introduce yourself so people know who they are talking to today or listening to.
All right. Thank you so much. All right, welcome to Speak Up Sis podcast. First off, I want to thank the founder and CEO of Speak Up Sis for this great opportunity. You know, she's been moving from one point of impact to another, and so amazing. So glad to be here. Right, my name is CJ Benjamin, the lead strategist, Brand Room. Right, we help people create global appeal. So fundamentally, I believe that the power of a brand is in its global appeal. The ability of a brand, you know, from the backside of nowhere, from a little corner of the world, from a little country or a prominent country, that you can move from the backside of nowhere to the timelines of relevance, right? So that's all we do. We do branding, strategy, and deploy creative intelligence for businesses and brands that are looking forward to creating global appeal, building a brand that pack an emotional wallop and impact, you know, through their products, their services, and their engagement. So thank you so much, Speak Up Sis, for this great opportunity. I'm so excited, right? It's been a while that we had something like this. And trust me, it's going to be amazing.
I already know. I'm going to be taking notes as well. Although you take care of me, I'm still going to take notes.
Right.
I chose to just simply hire the man. But for those of you who are wanting to at least get a background understanding, he's going to make sure that you get that. So without further ado, we're going to go ahead and move on, because I want to make sure that you get all of the information that you need to get today. And today's topic of start and scaling your brand is going to be audit your brand. So this is what our topic is going to be for today. And I am going to move out of the way, CJ. so that you can do what you do.
All right, thank you so much. Like I said before, my name is CJ Benjamin, and it's all about branding strategy and creative intelligence, right? So today I'm going to be talking about brand audit, but before we go there, I just want to give you a little preamble. And okay, can we go to the next slide? Right, brand audit next. Right, the economy of imperfection. My concept of brand is a bit ideological. If you follow me on Facebook, if you read stuff that I write, you'll discover that it's not so much of academics. It's not so much about, you know, what you read on the internet. It's about ideology. It's about penetrating the market and the industries that you're working in with some certain set of ideologies to branding that you can actually use to not just impact, but also create some sort of culture that is transformative and empowering. So there's something that called the economy of imperfection. Now, it's important that you know that everything that is happening in the world, every innovation, everything that you see is still evolving. That idea that you think is perfect, that inspiration you think is so powerful, is going to change the world. That dream that you have, that vision that you have, that brand that you've started is imperfect. Now you're going to ask, what is the place of this, all of this in brand audit? I'm coming right there. So the economy of imperfection deals with the fact that whatever you're doing currently is still in its state of evolution. Everything is transforming, right? That business that you have is still going to take another form. If you're going to, first of all, give it time and pour in some energy to it. So the economy of imperfection deals with the fact that everything is still evolving. Everything is imperfect, right? So I always say this, that perfection is not a business model. Imperfection is, because what you think is perfect, within that perfection, there is an imperfect code in it. And what the essence of that is, that you can decide to deploy first your imperfection and begin to use it as an audacity and as an element to create the next, right? So in everything that you're doing, one of the things that you have to do as a visionary, as a founder, or as a CEO, is to understand that what you're doing right now is imperfect. Right. In fact, it's important to let you know that humanity cannot embody perfection. Everything is imperfect. You are imperfect, right? Your spouse is imperfect. Your business is imperfect. But the truth about it is that this imperfection is what gives birth to the next. These imperfections, they are what gives birth to the next innovation that you're going to see there tomorrow. This imperfection is going to give birth to the next business idea, is going to give birth to the next iteration, is going to give birth to the next evolution in terms of innovation. So whatever it is that you're doing now, discover that they are imperfect. Your idea is imperfect. When you understand that your idea is imperfect, then we can move to the next, which is the economy of newness, right? The economy of newness. Everything is evolving. And it's important that you note that if you're running a business today, in the next year, in the next 2 years, people are going to be looking for something new, right? So the world thrives by newness, right? Some of us have iPhone, probably iPhone 12, or iPhone 13, iPhone 14. Now, when the next iPhone comes out, you're going to be craving for the next. Why? Because that is how humanity is designed. We are always looking out for the next. What is next? What's the next evolution? What's the next concept? What's the next trend? What's the next idea? What's the next inspiration? So you need to understand that as a business owner, as a founder, as a brand builder, somebody that is doing something different in the world, that you need to understand the economy of newness. Something new is always happening. but you have to be part of it. You have to ask yourself, what is the future of my business? What is the future of my brand? What is the next? What is the next code of action? What is the next inspiration? This is where brand audit comes in, because human beings are always thirsty of the next. Thirsty of the next idea, thirsty of the next inspiration, thirsty, you know, they want something new. Are you going to give it to them? So this is why you do brand audit, because everything is evolving. Everything is changing. Innovation is coming out every day. There's AI. So what are you going to do? Are you going to lie low and say, okay, AI is not good. AI is demonic. Like some people say, AI is this, AI is that. No. Every innovation is good, right? But there's some people who are going to come and distort it and use it for their evil agenda. Every innovation is good. So what you have to do is to ask yourself, how can this help me achieve the next? How can I use this tool? How can I use this innovation to birth the next timeline of my business, to birth the next idea, to use it to improve my customer service, to use it to increase customer retention, to use it to serve my customers and my client better? So stop saying that AI is good or that AI is bad or that innovation is bad. No innovation is bad. Every innovation has a purpose to it, and it's to move your business forward. So you need to understand that innovations are good. AI is good. Any other innovation you see out there is good, right? But people are going to deploy it wrongly. But don't look at the wrong aspect of an innovation. Look at a good aspect of it. How can it help me birth newness in my business? How is it going to help me curate the next? Some of us have started businesses, we've started ideas and startups and all of that, but at every point in time, you need to ask yourself, what is the next, right? If you don't ask yourself, what is the next, you're going to keep doing the same thing, running the same concept, running the same idea, doing the same type of marketing, doing the same kind of our service without actually asking yourself, what is happening in the market? What are people looking out for? The business is not about you. The business is about the people. And if the business is about the people, then you need to ask questions, right? Now look at Jesus. Jesus asked a question in scriptures that's quite profound. He asked, what do people think about me? No, go back. I'm not done yet. Go back. Right. So Jesus asked the question, what do people think about me? That is all about brand audit. So you have to sit down and ask yourself, what are people thinking about me? What are their mentality about my business? What do they think about my business? What do they feel about my business? How do they feel about my services and the things I'm delivering? Are they in sync with the concept that I'm serving, the innovation I'm serving, the idea I'm serving, the business model that I'm serving, whatever it is that you're serving to them? Are they in sync with it? Do they like it? Is there a way that you can prove it? So what is brand audit? It is their detailed analysis and evaluation of a brand's current position in market compared to its competitors, right? So the truth is, business is war, and you need to grab that. Business is war, right? And if business is war, you need to learn how to fight. Now listen, the market is filled with people. Your industry is filled with people that is offering one kind of service or the other. There are a million people doing the same thing that you're doing, right? But how are you going to differentiate yourself? How are you going to stand out? So you need to ask yourself questions like, what do these people think about me? What am I doing? How is it being served? How are people perceiving what I'm doing? Is it okay to do it this way? Is there a better way to do it? So you need to ask yourself certain questions. So it is a detailed analysis and evaluation of a brand's current position. What is your current brand position in the market? What is your current brand position in the market? Now, let me explain something. What is brand positioning? You can go to the next. What is brand positioning? Okay, before I go to brand positioning, what does brand audit actually entails? It involves assessing the brand strength, your brand's weakness, your opportunities, your traits, that's about taking a SWOT analysis, right? And what this does for you is to identify areas for improvement and develop strategies to enhancing the brand's performance and perception. So you're going to take a detailed analysis of your strengths. What are your strengths? What are those things that your customers are saying that, okay, you're doing well. I like how you're doing your business. I like how you serve this thing to us. I like how you communicate to us. I like how you send emails to us after every service or whatever it is that you're offering. I like how you deliver. I like your perfectionist spirit. I like what you're doing. This take inventory and take an assessment of your strength, right? Then you're taking also an assessment of your weakness. What are your weaknesses? What are the things that you're not doing well, right? You need to ask yourself, what are the things, right, you're not doing well? When you discover them, you take down the notes, right? So why you need to know your weaknesses? Because other people are going to leverage on it to do better, right? And when they do better, customers are going to come looking for them, seeking for them. And before you know it, you don't have anybody that you're serving. Why? Because you're not taking inventory and assessing your weaknesses. They are very strategic and important for every business. You need to take an inventory of all your weaknesses. There are some things that every business has it. There are things that you're not doing well that you need to improve on. Those are quite important. Now, there are opportunities that you need to leverage on. I talked about AI. People are saying, oh, AI is this and AI is that. But you're going to tell yourself AI is good. And I'm going to look out for how to use it as an opportunity to reach out and serve my clients better. Or there's this innovation, there's this tool, there's this service that I need to engage. It could be branding. It could be that you need to improve your website. It could be that you need to build something new. It could be that you need to build another platform. It could be that you need to get an office. It could be that you just need to do something different. Look out for opportunities and also look out for threats. What are those things that could make you lose it? Lose your business, lose your clients, lose your place in the market. Trust me, there are disruptions happening every day. Businesses are being disrupted. Models are being disrupted. We saw how Uber came in, disrupted the taxi industry. And trust me, people started using them and all of that. Business models are changing every time. So you need to ask yourself, what are my strengths? What are my weaknesses? What are the opportunities? And what are the threats that are available that I need to work on, that I need to improve, and all of that? Very important. All right, let's move to the next slide. Okay, here's what I think. If brand audit is done properly, if it's done properly, and if you're thinking at the speed of light, a brand audit might lead to a pivot. All right, so there's a case study I have, and it's Instagram. Before Instagram became Instagram, it was once Bobbing, right? So this Bobbing was just a photo sharing and filtering app, right? Before it now transited to or pivoted to becoming Instagram, which is now a social media, global social media platform that people are using, you know, to market their goods and services, to market a product, you know, create customer engagement, create personal brand portfolios for themselves and all of that. So if you are thinking at the speed of light, if your brand audit is done well, it might lead you to the next. It might lead you to the place that your business is meant to be. It might lead you to your next timeline of business. It might lead you to something even new. So you need to ask yourself, critical question, what are these things that I need to do to make sure that I'm moving to the next? Because the next is important. If you don't do what you're meant to do, trust me, you're losing it. And one thing that you need to know is that your customers, they have, what is it called? They have options, but you don't have options, right? So you need to make sure that you're doing it right. If you're thinking at the speed of light, if you're doing what you're meant to do, your brand audit could actually lead to creating something new. It could lead to an improvement. It could lead to a pivot. It could lead you to, you know, birthing the next business idea. There's this application. Okay, it's a platform. It's called Slack for engagements and all of that, working engagements and all of that. They were once a gaming company, right, before they pivoted. So there is great opportunities when you start auditing for the right purpose. Move into a totally new frontier or a totally new business idea if you are thinking right. Remember, the idea is that you want to improve whatever it is that you're doing. A lot of people are doing stuff. They are stuck in the mall. They are doing a lot of things, but nothing is working. So what do you do? You need to take a brand audit. A brand audit is going to help you define and decide your next. And if you don't do it right, you're going to miss it. It's just going to be an action. But if you do it properly, probably with your brand strategies or your business developers that understand the intricacies of it, trust me, you're going to be doing it right. All right, let's move to the next slide. Okay, there are quite different elements of brand audit. There are up to 10 of them. We have brand identity element. We have brand communication. We have brand equity. We have customer perception. We have market analysis, internal assessment. We have financial performance. The SWOT analysis that I mentioned, we have recommendation and strategy. The essence for recommendations and strategies, because by the time you're done, there has to be recommendations and strategy on how to move forward. So you need to do that. It's very important. You need to have some recommendations because it does not end with you doing a brand audit. After the brand audit, you need to do recommendations and develop strategies for you to, you know, create something new. Could be new strategies, new marketing or elements, new marketing concepts, and how to penetrate the market even more and all of that. Then the next thing you do is monitoring. But we're not going to talk about all of them today. We're just going to pick four of them and talk about it. And the first that we're going to be talking about is your brand identity. Right, your brand identity. Let's move to the next slide. All right, so there are different elements of brand audit. There are different elements of brand audit. We have all the stuff that we mentioned, brand identity, brand communication, your SWOT analysis, your internal assessment, all of that. But then the fourth is your brand identity. This is what people see when they begin to do business with you, right? Right. So you need to assess it. What is happening with your brand identity? There are three things that happen right there. One is your brand essence. Now, there is what I call brand DNA. This is where your brand essence is merged in, right? So your brand DNA, this is your core values, your mission, your vision. So you need to assess your brand essence. What are the visions that you have for this brand, right? What are the visions? You could have one, two, or three visions for it, depending on the kind of business that you're running. You assess your mission. Is it still up to date? Now, here is the reason for this. Some of us start businesses, we have ideas, but the truth is your business is meant to keep growing. So your vision can evolve, your mission can evolve, your core values can evolve, right? Because of the attraction that you're going to be making and all of that. So you need to assess your core values. What are the core values that you have for your company? Your core values determines how you treat customers. You know, it could be integrity, it could be prompt communication, it could be that you've decided to be given some sort of incentives and all of that. There are a lot of core values, so you need to decide them. But then we're talking about auditing some of these things. So moving forward, you need to audit your brand essence. This is what holds your brand together. This is the core of your brand. okay, let's use Speak Up Sis for example. All right. Speak Up Sis started with this this Afro hair logo.
Listen, do not talk badly about the purple Afro lady, because we loved her. Thank you.
Right. So Speak Up Sis started like that, right? It was good at that point, right? It was good. So, like I was saying, there's what is called the economy of imperfection, right? So you need to appreciate where you're starting from, that you are imperfect, right? That's it right there. So you are imperfect, but you have to start somewhere. So what this does for you is that you need to tell yourself that because I am imperfect and what I'm doing right now is not going to stop me from starting, right? So I need to start, but I need to appreciate the fact that I am still in my evolving season, because there's going to be the next. There's going to be the new. There's newness happening every time. So I'm going to keep evolving. All right. Brand Room is evolving. We are changing everything. We're changing. Before we started with the Brand Room Inc., right? Now we just changed to Registered Brand Room, right? No long names and all of that. We changed on Registered Brand Room in Nigeria, in the US, and all of that. And that's beautiful, because we've discovered we can use that long, the Brand Room. No, we change it to Brand Room. That's some sort of evolving. We're moving to the new, and we're changing the logo, right? And we are transitioning into something new that I'm not going to mention right now. But next year, we're just moving ahead and doing something that is quite awesome and helping people from even different scopes leverage what we're doing. So you need to audit your brand essence, your core beliefs, your mission, and your vision. All right, we have a question. All right. Somebody from Facebook is asking a question.
I'll read the question for you. It all says, right. And hello, Cage Hunter, and those of you who are watching, we thank you so much for joining us. I see Evelyn Renee Farmer, Naomi Williams. We've got Cage Hunter in the building. Thank you all for popping in. So our question is, if you've done a business audit, but the business you're in is saturated and the price is being dropped, how do you get past the trends of lower prices? It affects the business no matter what you do. Do you understand the question, CJ?
Yes.
You want to respond?
All right. Let me say this. Cutting your prices is not a way to scale through, right? Because you're going to see someone else that's going to cut lesser. So are you going to keep cutting and cutting and cutting? How low can you cut down, right? Now listen, your price distinguishes you and draws a certain set of people to you. In fact, let me say this, that pricing is a receiving tool for businesses, right? There are people that are not going to come to you because you are too cheap for them. Now, a client told us that the wanted to do something, and they went to Fiverr. And the person they were talking with were telling them $1,500 for this thing. And this is a project worth millions of dollars. So they had to run, right? We can be talking about this magnitude of business or this application and building something like this, and you're telling us this kind of price. So there are people that are not going to work with you just because your price is low. It doesn't matter how down you go. And listen, it's not how down you go that makes people come to you. It's about your positioning and what you are offering. Stop cutting prices unnecessarily unless they are really needful. But the question is, how low can you actually cut?
Because I'm sorry to interrupt you. I think what she's asking, and I think this is where you all watching really want to focus in on what he's saying about your brand audit. And I know you said you did an audit. And so the question would be then, so her thing is, I did the audit, but because there's a saturation in the market and they're dropping their prices, I guess that means she must be having a difficult time when it comes to getting customers to pay the higher price, even if she doesn't drop it. And what I just listening to you and knowing you and paying attention to you, I know you're gonna say there's probably some branding concerns because she's not targeting the audience.
The right people.
She's not targeting the right people. Because there's lots and lots and lots of bread, but we buy it. And
all right,
we buy expensive bread too. But the people who are selling the bread really expensive, they are marketing differently. They are branded differently. They're reaching a different audience of people. CJ?
All right. So there's a purpose for branding, right? And the question is, did you actually do a brand audit? Right? Did you actually do a brand audit? Now, if you did a brand audit, what were the things that you did? Did you just check, okay, probably survey around and discover that the prices are dropping? So why did the price drop? So there are extensive questions that you need to ask, right? Is it that there's low income? Is it that people need to probably spend more to get a particular product? Or you that is producing it, you are spending more, right? And then people are moving on to different other brands, right? Because sometimes you spend so much to produce something and people discover that, okay, this particular thing is not costing. Let's move on to another product or other products. Then you need to sit down and do proper audit and ask yourself real questions. Do we need to cut down the size, or do we need to increase the size and increase the cost? Right. So brand audit is not something you do overnight. It's something that you sit down, not just you do it with a team, either your brand strategies or one of your team member. The problem is that sometimes people try to do brand audit themselves. Right. And sometimes it doesn't work that way because you need different perspective. It's a strategy section where you're bringing different elements together, different ideas together, right, to put something that is going to move to the next. So sometimes you might need to rebrand entirely or move to another kind of product that is going to serve better. Sometimes brand audit might need to wipe off what you're doing and create something new that the people are in need of. Stop selling expired concepts and expecting people to buy it.
Hold up, we have to say that again. I want to make sure they heard you. He said, stop selling expired products, expecting people to buy them. That's good.
Right. So some ideas are expired. They're no longer the in thing, right? If you are in a computer age and you're using typewriters, trust me, people are going to be looking at you like, who is this? What is she doing? So that is why you need to understand there is always newness. I started by telling you imperfection. There's imperfection, then there is newness. right? So if you decode that you are imperfect at this point in time, the problem is that we think that we are in our state of perfection. You are not perfect. Your product is not perfect. Your idea is not perfect. You are evolving. So when you notice that something is changing, the market is changing, you need to create something new. That is the essence of brand audit. You need to create something new. You might need to change your recipe. You might need to change everything. You might need to rebrand, right? You might need to change your website. You might need to just overhaul everything. Move to your nest. Stop holding dear to things that are expired. Expired ideas, expired logos, expired brand identities, expired concepts. Expired technology, right? You need to move to the nest. What is happening? People are thirsty, right? In fact, this question is the best because people are thirsty for something new. They're thirsty. Something new is happening, and they probably discovered there's something new, so they are moving on to it. So you need to sit down with a team, your brand strategist, your probably with a member of your team. Don't do it alone. Remember, don't do it alone. Your idea is not even perfect. You're doing it with a team, right? You're trying to decode the nest. What is next? What do we do next? What ideas, what strategies do we need to bring and implore, right? So the nest is your brand elements, your logo, your tagline, your visual element, right? Your logo, is your logo due for change? I told you that we discovered that because we're pivoting and doing something that's totally different. We're changing the logo, we're changing the tagline, right? And we're changing the visual element because we want to do something new. So you need to ask yourself, is this logo going to give me the kind of customers that I need? This visual identity, is it what I need to do? Is it what I really need? Sometimes people are so emotional. I remember when we needed to rebrand Speak Up Sis. Oh, she was so emotional about losing that logo. It was so emotional for her. I'm sorry to say, but
I cried. I literally cried.
Right.
And even after I paid them good money, I still came back. You remember, CJ?
Right.
And was is it possible that we can keep her and the new? And he said, absolutely not. You need to let it go because this is a regional brand. This is local. This is regional. This reaches a certain demographic. However, this is an international brand. This is a global brand. This is going to speak to more people than this. And so even though I cry like a baby, I trusted his expertise, and look at where we are now.
Right. So you need to let go, right? Let go of the things drawing you back. Sometimes it could be that you're so obsessed about the previous that you don't want to move to the next. So that's quite critical. Then the next you need to look at is your brand positioning. How the brand is perceived, you know, compared to competitors. Look at your brand position. What is your positioning statement? What are you serving? Who are you serving? It's very important that you look at your positioning statement. Sometimes your positioning reaches to a certain people that is not, a certain market that is not large enough, big enough to give it a kind of, you know, impact that you need. You need to look at your positioning. Now, I want to say this, and it's quite important that I say it. I discovered a lot of Blacks in the United States, they try to reach only to the Blacks. And I always tell them, listen, I know you've been through a lot. I know you've faced some sort of racism or something, segregations and all of that. But have you noticed that the people that you're segregating against, they build global stuff? They don't tag nobody. here's what I need to tell you. In business, you don't make enemies. In business, you make friends only. Why? Because you need everybody to leverage on what you're doing. You need the word. You need to copy your father. God is a global God. The sun is global. The air is global. Listen, the water is global. Why have you decided to serve the people that looks like you? You can't continue like that. Listen, once it has to do with business. Now listen, you can enjoy the leverages that comes with some of those communities and the black communities. That's cool. Enjoy the privilege, but please do not cave yourself into a cage that God did not put you in. God wants you to be fruitful, multiply, replenish, and he wants you to subdue. He doesn't want you to just serve a minuted little fraction of people. No, he wants your brand to be global. He wants you to go to the uttermost part of the earth. He doesn't want you to serve just a fraction. No, don't do that. Don't do that. In business, you don't make enemies. Serve people. Humanity is your goal. Serve everybody your brand can reach. It's about creating global appeal. I don't know how I'm going to say it, but please, I'm going to beg you. Please, your business is global. It's not for blacks. That's not what God told you. That's what you told yourself. You told yourself, okay, because of what is going on in your spirit, because of your experiences and all of the stuff that's happened, all the things that you faced, you've decided to serve a certain people that you think your God can reach. I want you to enlarge your coast. Right, position well, reach out to people. Listen, nobody segregates against success. Nobody does that. Just become successful in what you're doing. They're going to come calling you. Stop doing what you're doing. The fraction, that's not who God told you. I know that you might say, okay, God says we should reach the back. That's not God. God doesn't do that. God did not create blacks. He did not create white. God created human beings. God created human beings, so you need to serve the word. Stop tagging it, black-owned business. Don't do that. Your business is global. It's not black-owned business. Black is not a color. Black is not a color. In cars, black is not a color. White is not a color. So I don't know where you get black colors or white. No, black is not a color. Right? Serve the word. Position right. The market is large. You can reach anybody. Anybody can use your magazine. Anybody can use your website. Anybody can use it. So position right. I know it's going to be hard, but please, the world is waiting for you, and you're putting yourself in a corner, and God doesn't want that. God did not call you to reach the black folks. That's not what God told you. Maybe you downloaded 2 KB of 500 gig data. That's what you did. It's not God that told you. I can tell you with all of me that it's not God that told you that you were called to the blacks. No, God created everybody. So serve humanity. Serve everybody. It's not God. I'm going to tell anybody. I tell everybody I get to talk with, it's not God that told you that you're going to serve the blacks. That's not true. It's your experiences, the things you've experienced, the things that you faced, that is talking to you, not God. Right? Serve the word, not colors. How else can I say it? Serve the word, not colors.
Renee, he ain't teaching, baby. He preaching today. He is preaching, and I'm just going to put a big old ditto on all of that. I know it needed to be said. I believe here in the States, we do limit ourselves because of past experiences, because of history, because of a lot of things. And so we're angry that a tiny fraction of the world market doesn't want to shop with us, doesn't want to buy our products, doesn't support us when there's an entire world out there looking for what it is that we have to offer. So thank you for pointing out the elephant in the room. I do want to make sure that we don't skip over Naomi. If you have a word for her really quickly, because we want to make sure we get through this entire presentation for you all today. But Naomi had a question. She says, so speak on the best way to let go and detach from the expired and imperfection. That's hard and necessary, I understand. So do you have any strategies or something you can share that may help people like Naomi or anyone who is saying, I know that I need to let it go, but it's so hard and I just don't really know how? Can you give them some pointers, some tips, some strategies on letting go?
All right, here it is. Here is it. Everything starts with a change of mindset. That's the beginning of every transformation, is a change of mindset. Right. And then you need to build confidence in yourself. First of all, you need to understand the truth. What is the truth? The truth is that you were called to the world, not to a certain fraction of people. So the first is to understand that you actually called to the world. When you get that, then is a change of thinking. And every change of thinking starts with an information like this. So you don't need 1, 2, 3 principles. No. When truth comes, it sets you free. You should know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Truth doesn't need steps. Step one, no, truth is truth. When you understand that this is true, then you run with it. You edit yourself, edit your strategy, edit your brand, and begin to move. Right. All right, someone says that people don't let go because of fear. But hey, there are a lot of things that you've done even while being afraid, right? I reach out to a lot of people because in my mind, I don't see colors. I don't see skin colors. I don't see no blacks. I don't see white. I see people who need what I've got to offer. And from right there, I build my strength from, because I know who I'm meant to serve, and it's not a fraction. Is a whole lot of people. So first of all, fear is not your problem. The problem is that you need to have this knowledge that you are called to the world. If you don't know that you're called to the world, then you need to move. Reposition yourself, right? If you know that you're standing in the wrong place, if you know that the ground where you're standing is going to sink, what do? You move. If you know that something wrong is going to happen where you're standing, you move, right? Don't tag anything to it. Don't tag fear to it. Don't tag our limitation. All you need is to move. When you discover that rain is going to fall, what do? You go inside. You move into your house. You don't need 2 steps or 3 steps. No, just move, right? So here's it. Truth comes to set you free, and in setting you free, it places you where you ought to be. And where is it that you're meant to be? Your destiny. And where is your destiny? Your word, the word. You're called to the word. Stop looking for 2 strategies, 3 strategies, or ideas or concepts. All you need is to know that I'm meant to serve the word. That's enough. That's enough. Now, I know in brand audit, one of the things I'm going to be doing starting from tomorrow for people is to help them audit and reposition, all right? At the end of this section, I'm going to talk about it. But let me say this. You don't need a lot. You just need one thing, the knowledge, right? And you need to move. It's just a shift of gear. I'm in gear 1. Now I need to move to gear 2. You don't need protocols to move. You don't need permissions. You don't need validations. All you need is the knowledge that where I am right now is not where I'm meant to be, so I need to move, right? The people that you are thinking about, they're building global products. They're building global brands. Facebook is global. Twitter is global. Binance is global. Instagram is global. How is it that it's your own brand that you want to limit? Stop doing that. Right, so let's move to the next slide. Right, so I talked about brand positioning is It affects the way that a brand is perceived in the market. So when you're taking your brand audit, you need to take inventory of how people perceive you. Now, listen, if people perceive that your product is only for the blacks, trust me, they're not going to buy it. If your design speaks to only a particular set of people, they're going to jump it. You need inclusiveness to whatever you're doing. So you need a position right. What is the perception people have about right? You need to change whatever wrong perception that they have. Now, I always use Jesus as an example. He asked his disciples, who do people say that I am? And his disciples said, okay, some people say that you're a prophet. They say that you're a teacher and all of that. And he asked, who do you yourself say that I am? Right? So you need to ask questions. Sometimes you can answer some of these questions because you know what you're doing. You know how you're positioning your brand. You know the wrong mentalities that you've poured into your brand. So you need to change them. Who do people think that you are? You need to evaluate all of these things and begin to position right. All right, so let's run and move to the next slide. All right, so the next thing that you need to do is your brand communication. Let me say this. There are some brand communications that can never scale. There are some graphics that will never scale, that will never attract the kind of people that you want, that will never create the kind of buzz that you want, right? You need to change. And this is one of the things that your brand audit does, is to help you improve your brand communication. One of the elements of your brand communication is your advertising and your promotions. How are you promoting what you're doing? Are you just posting on Facebook and you're saying that nobody's supporting you? How about paid advertising? How about Google ads? How about Facebook ads? Now, a lot of people are going to say, Facebook is ripping us off. These people are ripping us off. Nobody's ripping you off. Stop saying all of those things. Pay money, advertise your business. Even Facebook is advertising. Google is advertising. If Google is advertising, why don't you spend some money and do some advertisement? Right? So stop saying people are ripping you off, these and that. Put in money, reach people. Get people to visit your website. Get people to buy into what you're doing. It's quite important. Look at your public relations. Evaluate the media coverage. How many people are seeing what you're doing? What is the reach like? Right? And over your overall perception that the public have, you need to evaluate all of them. Very important. And this, all of this is what your brand audit helps you achieve. It helps you iterate on your brand communications, your advertising, your promotions, your public relations, and your digital presence. Sometimes you need to analyze your website, your social media timelines, some graphic that you have there, they're not going to scale. People are going to think that you are just playing. Stop playing. Do something better, right? Get something better done. Create some level of global appeal for your business so people can, you know, make your business approachable. How you look matters a lot. How you look matters a lot.
CJ, I want to repeat it. I want to interject for just a second because I have a question that I think, no, I know people think, but maybe they are not asking. So you're wanting to create or establish a brand, and do you believe that people should just, for example, there was a young lady that reached out to me to be a part of something that has to do with Speak Up Sis, and she wants to perform. And I asked, where's your website? You know, send us your website and we'll take a look and, you know, whatever. She doesn't have a website. Okay. All she had was like a Facebook or Instagram, and it was kind of, you know, splotchy here and there. So my question is it better to just get those things because you don't have them? Or is it better, and I'm thinking about people who are saying that they have limited funds, right? Is it better to hold off on getting the website and all these things, the digital presence, until you can afford to do the branding? Or should you just go ahead and start where you are and then rebrand later if necessary? Do you understand what I'm asking?
Yes. Okay. The truth is, we always start from somewhere, right? Everybody started from somewhere. But the mistake people make is that the somewhere seems to be lasting forever, right? You've been doing business for 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, and you're still using the term, the days of little beginning. When are you going to grow up? Right. So this is quite important. If you're just a few months old, 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, it's understandable. But you're running a year or 2, 3, 4 years, you're doing the same thing and you're saying that you don't have fun. It means that, and you're making a little money. That means you've not understood how to do business. When you make $1,000, you're meant to set out a particular percentage to build your brand. Some percentage for marketing, some percentage for your website until it's completed. But the problem is that people have the mentality that we're still small, we're still trying, right? But it doesn't work that way. If you're doing business, you need to understand it. And that's why I think that sometimes before you start, seek for consultation, right? People don't like to. There's what's called startup funds. When you're starting, you might need to set aside 3,000, 2,000, 1,000. Before you build a house, you need to do the structural design. You need to do the electrical design, drawings and all of that, the architectural drawings and all of that. But in your business, you don't have any form of business plan. In your business plan, all of these things are meant to be solved in your business plan, right? Your business plan solves all of this. So the problem is that you don't have no business plan. You don't have a brand blueprint. You've been doing business for 5 years, 7 years, 10 years, and you're saying that you're small. No, you're not small. You're being unguarded, right? So, but for people who are starting out, you're probably few months and all of that, my word for you is it's always good to start up with something. Nobody enters the market and you want to buy something or sell something without a startup fund. Set aside a startup fund. And what this money does is to help you kick off from the ground, right? It might just be to get your branding done and get your website, depending on what you need. Sometimes it could be to get an office. So you need to prioritize, right? Get the first things first that you need to get started, right? You might start out using your Instagram and your Facebook before you get a website, but make sure that your page is organized, your Instagram is organized, your posts have some sort of uniqueness to it, right? So people will always, okay, fine, she doesn't have a website, but the page is organized, right? You go to some people's page, everything is scattered. Like, you see people tagging them in a lot of things. Their timelines are flooded with a lot of things. If you go to my timeline, sorry, you're going to see only branding. From A to beginning, from today till the next 3 years, you're going to see branding. You won't see any other thing, right? I only allow what is related to branding to be on my page, right? That's it. So organize what you're doing. Organize yourself. Clean up, right? Clean up your room. Be free. Your room is untidy. You need to clean it up and make sure that everywhere is neat enough for your customers to sit down and do business with you. Now, the truth is, people actually look at what you look like. If you're dirty, nobody's going to do business with you. If you are untidy, if your page is untidy, oh, they can't grasp it. So even if it's just a simple Instagram, make sure that it's good. You can start with investing with some graphics to make your stuff look good, right? If you look good, people want to say hi to you. That's why you do some makeup. You make your hair, right? You put some touch-ups and all of that. Please clean up your room. And trust me, people are going to do business with you. So, yeah, it's good to start somewhere. You could start with an Instagram account, your Facebook account, but please make sure it's tidy. Make sure that you are good enough to behold. Right. So let's move to the next. Customer perception. So you need to do a customer survey to, you know, understand what people think about you. What is the perception that they have about your business? And then what is their preference? So the thing about preference is stop doing stuff thinking that people will just buy it. Do what people are craving for. Serve them how they want to be served, right? If you run a restaurant and you discover that people don't like a particular type of plate and you say, okay, this is our plate, this is how we want it. No, you are not the one eating the food. The food is for people, right? So you need to get something that they want. Ask them questions. What kind of place that you guys like? What's your best plate? What's the kind of spoon that you like? So you need to ask questions, right? And you also need to evaluate their satisfaction levels. Are they satisfied with what you're offering? Could there be improvement? Just ask for feedbacks. That's quite important. Analyze feedbacks and use the feedbacks to move forward, right? Use the feedback to iterate. Use the feedback to get better and do business better. Feedbacks, there's what I call feedback from failure, right? There's feedback from failure. What you do with feedback from failure is to curate the future, right? But then there is the feedback from the future, right? What it does is that, or how you tap into the future, the feedback from the future is for you to have strategic foresight. You need to be a little bit futuristic. So what happens is that you look into the future and draw the next into the present. That's what innovation is all about. Drawing the future. You look at the future of your industry, look at the future of marketing, look at the future of branding, look at the future of community, and bring it into the present. You need strategic foresight. You need, you might even need an ideologist to help you do all of that. You might need a brand futurist to help you do all of that. But then feedback from failure is very important. It's going to help you create the next. Right. Somebody's asking a question.
This is a question that I think kind of fits what you're talking about right now in terms of customer perception and feedback. Cage Hunter says, could it be possible that the business just doesn't work in the area you're targeting or the city? And second part of the question, how do you determine what you've seen on the analysis is the true picture to continue to pour money into the business?
All right. So answering the first question is, that's where your market feasibility comes in. Before you start something, you need to do feasibility analysis, right? Now, the problem people have in business is that they just have this concept. They just have this idea and they start doing it without researching, asking people, do you guys really need this in this area, right? Or do I need to move into another area to do it? But we just have some good idea and we think that because it's good in our head, it's going to be good out there. No, that's not how it works. You need to do feasibility studies and be able to discover, oh, okay, is what is happening in my head really happening in their head? Because you're not the one going to use the product, right? So if you're not the one using the product, you need to create a product or do it in your own terms. Do it on your own terms and allow them to leverage it how they want it. So if you're doing a particular business that is not working in a particular area, it could be that in this area, they don't eat this particular food. They don't eat this particular bread. And you're trying to sell it to them, then it's not going to work, right? Because the culture does not accept it. So what you do is either that you do it differently in a way that they're going to like it, or you don't do it at all, right? So you need to get their preference. It's very important. Get their preference and use their preference to build your product so that you can serve cravings, serve needs. I once talked with a guy that wanted to do boutique. I've said this before. And he was buying clothes that he likes. He was buying trousers that he likes, not what the people within that area likes. So he ended up wearing it. So he was buying his kind of stuff, his kind of vibe, right? Not what the people want. The business is not for you. It even comes down to your logo, your colors. It's not for you. So you're not going to do what you like. You're going to do what would scale your business. It's not about the kind of color you like. You like green, so your brand color is going to be green. No. You like blue, so you want your brand color to be blue. That's not it. So you're going to do what the market craves for. Right? So how do you determine what you've seen on analysis is the true picture? Now, the analysis is not done out of the blues, right? You're doing analysis based on what is on ground. So you are the one doing the analysis. You're going to be asking questions. You're going to be doing some sort of research, sending out surveys, asking questions to probably your clients or the people around. You can even go out and do some interviews. You've heard some interviews on social medias, right? The go around, ask, okay, where's happening in this area? Do you guys use this or that? People are going to talk to you. So ask questions. So you're not doing analysis on your own. You're going to ask the people that need to use your product, the particular demographic, the particular age range, right? So you're going to ask them. They are the ones that's going to determine the analysis. So the analysis is not just something you sit down and begin to analyze. You're going to do it with the people that need the product or that need the service, right? So we're moving forward to the last. Now, this is about recommendations and strategy. Now, this is only important when you're doing it yourself or you don't want nobody to help you. You don't want people to help you or come in, you know, probably get your money because brand strategy is going to cost, a brand audit is going to cost you, right? But people don't want to pay nobody. But if you're doing it yourself, here is the most important thing. You don't just do brand audit for just doing it. After the entire brand audit, you need to come out with some recommendations and strategies. So if I'm doing brand audit with you, at the end of the day, I'm giving you some recommendations, some strategies. Some of them, I'm going to help you work them out. You know, some of them are going to be curated by probably your brand strategies or the company that he's working with or his agency to make sure that some of these things are deployed. So you don't just do brand audit. You do it so that you can come out with something tangible that you need to work with to improve your business. So that's about the recommendations and strategy. So you do a brand audit, analyze your strengths, your weakness, your opportunities and a trait. And after all of this thing that we've talked about, a recommendation is given, strategies are outlined to help you move to the next level. Very important. Okay. That's about that. So I'm going to ask, okay, let's move. Okay. That's the end of the slide. So I'm going to ask if there are questions.
Okay. So listen, everybody. We have come to the end of day one of the series, the first thing I need to ask is, did you all enjoy? The second thing I want to ask is, did you learn something you didn't know before? And third, was this helpful? And fourth, are you looking forward to the next the next topic in this series? CJ, my goodness, even though I've heard you say these things before, you always somehow give a fresh perspective every time we talk about this, every time we share with people. You always have something new and innovative, even when it comes to branding. And so I appreciate you. Those of you who've been rocking with us during this particular show, I appreciate you. Your questions have been phenomenal. They've asked some really good questions, haven't they, CJ?
Right. Absolutely.
You all have asked some really good questions. Hold on a second. LaToya says, I came in a little late. How can we get in touch with CJ? Oh, you already know I am not a gatekeeper. I am not a gatekeeper. And so look at this branding. Let me tell y'all, I have got the absolute best brand strategist, hands down, period. I have not met anyone who understands branding quite like CJ understands branding. And so here, I'm gonna do y'all a great big favor right there. And his website is www.brandroom.io. Go to the website, check them out, do your due diligence, do your research, right? Go check them out. You can also email him at contact@brandroom.io. And just let me say, even CJ and his business, from when I met him, he mentioned this earlier, but even they have been shifting in their branding. Things have changed even since I've met him. The website address has changed. The email has changed. Some of the things that they're doing is shifting a little bit. And so even the brand strategist understands that he is yet a brand and his business is a brand. And he also has to remain innovative, even as he helps us to do those things in our business. So he does what it is that he is sharing with us to do. Do you want to share with the people about this brand audit we have here up on the screen?
All right. This is the first one, right? Mm-hmm. So it's starting from today. For people that want to do brand audit, you want to, you know, do this with someone, a brand strategist, or a professional who understands the dynamics, right? Then you might want to jump in and do your brand audit. This is a 2-week strategy section with you, one-on-one. Do this with you to be able to find out what next, right? Discover the imperfections, and curate the newness, right? You discover the imperfections and you create the newness. So you're in a state of imperfection. There's something new that needs to happen. So this is where we get it done. We take all the processes, analyze what you're doing, curate strategies, and deploy them, right? So in case you want to do a brand audit, you want to assess everything that you're doing. You need to, you know, check everything you're doing from A to Z, where you started. You want to analyze your vision, your mission, your logo, your brand strategy, how you're doing stuff, right? You might want to jump in, right? This is not free. Trust me, it's not free. I don't do free stuff. This is the only free stuff I do. So
listen, I need y'all to understand, when y'all start getting upset with Angel Charmaine about why the ticket's $150 and why you paying for features and why, let me tell you, blame this guy. You can blame him, because he was like, come on. You know, you're going to have to charge, because I pay him and I pay him good money. And so if you want quality work, you're going to have to make the investment. And here's the thing, you know what? I don't know if I can find it. I'm going to see really quickly if I can find this comment. I believe Evelyn posted it earlier. And she said something like she had hired people to do some things and it just didn't fit her vision. It wasn't working. And who you hire is important. That's why I always say do your due diligence when it comes to researching people and determining if they are who they say they are and if they can do what they say they can do. Right. So don't waste your money on people you've not spent any time vetting. But when you find someone and you know that that person or that team or that company can get it done for you, then understand that an investment is definitely warranted. Let's see here. Linda says, thoroughly enjoyed. It reinforces what I already know. However, I love the tie-in with the word. Definitely looking forward to the next. Actually having thoughts of MBA. And I said, I'm done with school. He reminded me of my love for marketing. Thank you. Look at you inspiring people to go back to school, CJ. That's what's up. And Evelyn says, I needed a consultation in the beginning. I spent so much money on logos and branding that really did not fit my vision. That is what I saw her post earlier. And I hate to say it, sometimes it can be a bit of trial and error. I'm telling you, I have spent thousands of dollars with people that I know I did not get the return on the investment. And sometimes we learn from experience and we learn from trial and error. But that is why Speak Up Sis podcast is here. What God has called me to do is to be the premier supporter of Kingdom Visions. So I don't gatekeep when I find out the cheat code, when I find out the answer, when I find the people who can help you, I put them in front of you so that you can do your due diligence and determine whether or not they will work for you. Okay. So I'm not sure. Hopefully CJ will be able to pop back on with us. But I do want to say thank you all so very much for showing up today. We're going to do this all over again on, I believe our next date. I'm going to let you know what our next date is before I leave you. Let me find it. I want you to put it on your calendars. So our next date is going to be November 7th, and the topic is going to be elevating your brand, switching your brand gears. That is going to be our next topic in this series, this Starting and Scaling Your Brand series, November 7th. We're going to meet right here at 1:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, elevating your brand, selecting your brand, switching your brand gears. All right. And it looks like CJ is back with us. So CJ, I'm going to allow you to wrap us up if there's something that you want to say before we go, and then we're going to let the people go for the day.
All right. Okay. So someone was saying, okay, she spent so much in doing something and she did not get what she wanted. Okay. One of the things you get with the brand room is iteration. If something is done and somehow is not what you wanted, we get to create it again until you get what you want. But I'm yet to see us creating something that did not scale. I'm yet to see it. And I can be proud about that, right? We always hit the target and we've always been at that, you know, doing it real good. So in case you're doing something, I don't know, the people you used probably, they don't iterate, they don't change or rework. But one of the things you get with working with a brand new day, we get to create it until you love it. So that's what I have to say about that. Okay, for the brand audit, for people that would actually love to do all of that, it actually costs some money. It's $1,200 in case you want to do it. It's a 2-week section that we do with you and develop strategies, audit a lot of things, and create a strategy that you need to move to your next. And in case you want to do all of that, all you need to do is just connect with me on Facebook or Instagram, right? Or send an email to the contact@brandroom.io and we get in touch. But I think Facebook is going to be faster. Just type in CJ Benjamin and connect with me and you get the payment link and a link for you to fill so that you just get started with it already. Next year is going to be disruptive and it's time to get started. It's time to change everything that you want to do and, you know, and hit the target. Right. And in case it's not brand audit that you want to do, you want to get branded, then you want to get connected. Let's get it done. Right. So it's either you're doing brand audit or you're doing your branding or you're changing your website or the entire look, or you need somebody. Okay, let me say this. Subscribing to the brand audit or to a branding section with the brand room actually affords you the opportunity to have me work as your team member, right? Until you're tired. So it gives you access to working with me. You can hit me up at any time and say, okay, I want to do this. What do you think? You know, we strategize together. Let me say this, but Speak Up Sis is moving forward, curating new stuff because I'm right there. And I'm proud to say that, right? Because I keep coming up with new stuff, right? Every other time, I'm looking out for what is next for her to do. So I dropped the idea, and she's always wrong with it. She will always run with it. We drop this, she run with it. We drop that, she run with it. I said, okay, we're going to work this. And that's how to do it. You don't do business alone, right? Me, myself, and I is what I call demonic trinity. And you need to step away from that.
You got it. Every time you say it, I have to have you repeat it. He always says, me, myself, and I is a demonic trinity. And hold on to that because I believe that to be the truth. CJ, I think when I say to people that I have a team, I don't think they believe me. It is what it is, you know, but I keep trying to explain to people that I'm not doing every single thing on my own. And here's the thing, and please allow me to say this, because CJ has given you all the meat. And I think I just want to give you a little bit of gravy, if you will. Understand that, yes, we start out solo, many of us. Some people don't start out solo. Some people get their business plan together. They formulate a team. They get all the people before they go and they plan it all out. And then many of us just kind of end up starting on our own for whatever our reasons are. But the goal is not to remain alone. The goal is not to remain alone. And sometimes the hurt of feeling like no one wanted to help you from the beginning keeps us in a place of being bitter. And so then we end up by ourselves longer than we should because we're just mad that people didn't want to come on board at the beginning.
Absolutely.
And that is, it really is foolishness. It's really going to hurt you. It's sitting in a hurt place, a bitter place. But like the word tells us, we've got to pluck up those roots of bitterness so that we can go ahead and do what we need to do. So the goal, even if you started out by yourself, I started out by myself in terms of doing the work, building the website, doing the graphics. And you know what? Learn to have a teachable spirit. I remember I was doing my graphics before there was Canva, before Canva came on the scene. I was just kind of using all sort of TextGram and all sort of things to create graphics. And I remember this guy looking at one of my graphics I had posted and he messaged me. He sent me a private message in my inbox on Facebook and he said, "Your graphics are flat." That's what he said to me. He said, "Your graphics are flat." I didn't have a clue as to what he was talking about, to be honest with you, because I thought they looked great, right? Compared to what other people were doing. Stop comparing what you're doing to what other people are doing. Sometimes we're comparing F's to F's. Sometimes we're comparing our D to somebody else's F. We're usually not comparing our F to A's. You understand what I'm saying? So yeah. I had to have a teachable spirit. I had to listen to the market. I had to listen to the audience that I had to tell me that, like, this is cool, but these graphics aren't doing it. And pretty much what he was saying is that they were not, they had no dynamic to them. They, you know, and so eventually I said, okay, I'm going to have to get somebody else to do this stuff, because clearly this is not my lane. And so, you know, you hire a VA to help you. You hire your brand strategist to help you. You hire the people that you need. You outsource what you need to outsource. But the goal is to get a team of people who are experts in their own field to be a part of what you're doing so that they can make you look amazing because you can't do everything and you shouldn't want to do everything. All right. So that's just a little bit of gravy on top of the meat that you all received. And we're going to go ahead and let you go for the day. And I hope you all have enjoyed. I hope you have learned. And we will see you on November 7th. CJ, one final word of encouragement for the people. I'm going to let you have it.
All right, I'm just going to say that it's time to do the nest, right? It doesn't matter where you started. It's time to get on the nest. There's always the nest, and that's what you need to do. Stop holding back. Stop waiting. If you're going to do better next year, you need to start right now, right? I always tell myself that next year starts in October. So we've started planning for next year already, started deploying stuff, getting stuff ready. So it's time to start. Don't wait till January to get started. This is the time. If you're going to do anything next year, this is the time to start, you know, doing it. That's why we started the brand audit, started this section to help you move on to your next. So it's time to get started. Don't wait. Next year is now. So it's time to get started. Get connected, get done what you need to, you know, do. Get connected on Instagram, on Facebook, send an email, speak to Speak Up Sis. So it's time to speak up, actually. All right. So speak up and get it done. Thank you so much. I'll see you next time.
We'll see you all on November 7th. Y'all take care. And don't forget to open up your mouth and speak up and allow your brand to speak up. We'll see you. I see you real soon. Bye-bye.